ways. But specifically in reference to Edinburgh Road Chapel and church ministry, I am blessed that I can go away, and we have great leaders, and we have people that can speak, men, and I'll add women. My mother-in-law, who's been dead for quite a few years, she actually says, Connie, my wife is a better speaker than me. Now, I think she's a little biased, but that's okay. This morning, one of our elders, John Flager, is speaking, and I think most of our elders have preached at one time or another. While I'm away, Christian Shiner is going to be speaking, and Christian's kind of suffering in Italy today on business. My youngest son, Tim's going to be speaking, and I mention Tim because that Sunday, both of my sons will probably be preaching on the same day but in different areas, and maybe even my grandson. He's already preached down in Maryland. So I am really blessed. October 4th, you want to make sure that's your calendar, not only for the prayer chain, the Life Pro Life chain, but Diane Brown's going to be sharing Sunday morning, Here's My Life. In the past, we have heard from Patty Cadis, we've heard from Jennifer Kerwin, and now we're going to hear from Diane, and you don't want to miss Diane's story, right, Ed? Ed hears her story all the time. He's married to her, and she's in the nursery today, I think, or somewhere down there. So October 4th, you want to remember to make sure you hear her. John Flager. John Randall Flager. One of our elders. He's going to come and speak. So I am so privileged. John.
Big mouth, I got. I'm just a little excited. I got up this morning, and that was after a night of bowling with with the grandkids. And when Shelly first said bowling, I was like, well, that's really cool, because I ain't bowled in years. And I thought, but the only thing is, the grandkids, like little Joby, what's Joby going to get out of that, you know? And little Isabel, and I thought, nah, well, I got smoked by the world. It was terrible. It was ugly. But we had such a great time. And I woke up this morning. I was so excited. And I think, oh, God, you know, you're so good. You're so good. God, you're so good. And so I go to Wawa, and I'm doing like a re-wrap of what's going to be said, God willing, today. And so I see Pete and Pammy come by. So I wave, hey, how you doing, everything. And I go back into my study. So now I'm like, I'm not thinking of nothing. I'm just like, oh, it's time to go. Boom. So I jet out. The door's not even closed. I pull out in front of Pam. Hey, Peter and Pam. Pull out. The door flies open. I'm slamming the door. I'm like, holy smokes, what a mess I am. But anyway, it's just so, it's such a blessing to be here. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about what we're going to talk about today, and you'll see how my thoughts went this way about you people. Because I have never, and I'm almost 63 years old, I have never been around a group of people like this, never. And I'm going to tell you something, that God has something big. He has something big. We got a great man coming to read the word this morning. He don't even need an introduction. Stevie, come up and read for us, please, brother.
Brother, you got it.
Good morning, everyone.
Does he need a thing?
No.
No. Okay.
The prophets is a summon a man from the company of the prophets and said to him, tuck your cloak into your belt, take this flask of oil with you, and go to Rodef Galad. When you get there, look for Jehu, son of Joshua, the son of Nishua. Go to him, and in a room, when take the flask and pour the oil on his head, and declare, this is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel. Then open the door and run. Don't delay. So the young man the prophet went to Ramoth-Gilead. When he arrived, he found the army officers sitting together. "I have a message for you, commander," he said. "For which of us?" asked Jehu. "For you, commander," he replied. Jehu got up and went into the house. Then the prophet poured the oil on Jehu's head and declared, "This is what the Lord says. The God of Israel says, I anoint you king over the Lord's people, Israel. You are to be the blood and the servants of prophets and the blood of all the Lord's servants shed by Israel. The whole last male in Israel, slave or free, I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and the house of Baasha, son of Ahijah. As for Jezebel, dogs will devour her on the pilot of the ground of Israel, and no one will bury her. Derbe opened the door and ran. When Jehu went out to his fellow officers, one of them asked him, "Is everything all right? Why did the medium come to you? You know the man of sort of things he says." Jehu replied, "That's not true." They said, "Tell us." Jehu said, "Here is what he told me. This is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel." Then hurried and took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and saluted. Jehu is king. That's it. Thank you.
Does that even kind of look interesting to you? When I read that, I was like, God, there's got to be such a story in this. You know, and for the many people that come here, like, I'm so glad Pastor does that. Here's my life. Because when somebody starts talking, I mean, you love the people to death. And then they start telling about their life and you're like, wow, write a book, would you? This is great. You know, it's really, really good stuff. So when I read that, I was like, oh, God, I know where this is going. So before we start, I just want to ask the Lord's blessing on this time. Father God, your word says that you use the the low things of this world to confound the wise. Oh, Father, and surely I'm a witness to that, Lord, testimony to that, that you would take somebody like me and allow me to stand before your bride, before the body of your bride, Lord, and break the bread of life. So, Father, I ask that every word of my mouth and every thought in my heart would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. All right. Those names are murder, ain't they, Steve? They are murder. I said, who's the father that named his son that? Jeez. He's better than Sue. Thank you, said that. The first week last month, August, Pastor spoke on experiencing life in the Holy Spirit. And believe it or not, a flunky like me managed to get some notes took down. One of the first points Pastor made was, Jesus will show himself to you. He will personally reveal himself, I put to me. Okay. The name of my little talk here is taken from that one verse, and it says here, wait a second, I lost my place here. Here we go. When the prophet went to see Jehu, he said to him, "This is what the Lord says." And that's the name of what I want to talk about today. This is what the Lord says. Now, just a little bit of history, all right? I wrote this down so I don't mess it up. There's two names that we're going to hear of first. One is Ahaziah, and the other is Joram. And there's a third, Hazael. Now, Hazael was the king of Aram, and he was in Ramoth-Gilead, and he was fighting the two kings, one of Israel, the other Judah. One was Joram. He was the king of Israel. He was, and it's important that we remember this, he was the son of Ahab. And Ahaziah was married into Ahab's family. And they were fighting together against this Hazael, the king of Aram. Well, Joram got wounded. And Joram goes back to Jezreel, back to his castle, and he lays back for a while to convalesce from his battle wounds. And Ahaziah went to visit him. Now, the only reason why that's important is because God set the scene for when he was going to move. And he chose to move when both those kings were in Jezreel. Both of them kin to wicked King Ahab. The Bible says Ahab was the most wicked king ever in Israel's history. And his wife was no better. Matter of fact, his wife never even saw a grave. Because God predicted, he says, guess what? Don't worry about Jezebel. He says, the dogs will lap her blood up. Ain't going to be enough pieces to put together to put in the ground. Don't worry about her. Anyway, this is where Jehu comes in. And this gets so exciting to me. Because when did you ever hear a prophet say to another prophet, look, I got something I want you to do. You got to go to this place in Ramoth-Gilead. You got to find this commander of the army, Jehu. When you find him, well, first off, he tells him, tuck your belt up, gird up your loins. Is that right, Pastor? Gird up your loins. Well, when they told somebody gird up their loins, he was in the army and he was getting ready to kill somebody or be killed. So the last thing he needed was long robe flowing around, straggling him all up. So he girded it all up, tucked it up in, and then he could book when it was time to book. Okay, so the Elisha tells this prophet, look, I got a job for you. Here, take this flask of oil. He goes, oh, by the way, tuck your belt up, get all girded up. He goes, and now I want you to go to this place in Ramoth-Gilead. And if I was that prophet, I'd been like, dude, they're fighting over there. You know, it's like saying, John, go to Syria. You know, wait a second. Anyway, he says, go to Ramoth-Gilead. He goes, and look for Jehu. Go in, get him away from the rest of the crowd. Get into an empty room, little inner room. Take him in there. Pour it all on his head. Say, this is what the Lord says. I've anointed you king over Israel. He says, and then run. Now, Mike, this has made me think of you. Because, and here's why. Lynyrd Skynyrd sang a song, won't you give me three steps, give me three steps, mister, right? And you'll never see me no more. And that's what, I think that's what that prophet said to Jehu. The prophet went in, he came down to Ramoth-Gilead, followed the directions to the T with his flask all. He says to Jehu, he says, there was a group of them sitting. Now, I'm not smart enough to figure it all out, but I figured either the war had ended or they were on some kind of R&R. They were all together, the officers, talking about stuff. But you can judge for what kind of man this guy Jehu was. And here's how. Number one, he had served for a while in the army. As a matter of fact, he was a charioteer. He served under Ahab, and he also served under Ahab's son Joram. Now, this made me think of Heather. Because he was a charioteer. Now, later on in the Bible, in the verses, it says, the lookout reported, we'll get to this too, but I just had to bring this in to show you Jehu. The lookout reported, he has reached them, but he isn't coming back either. The driving is like that of Jehu, son of Nimshi. He drives like a madman. Heather, I was going to ask for permission, but I had to do it. So when Heather was 17, I guess, her grandfather was gracious. He gave her this car. It was a Toyota, but it wasn't the Toyota Corolla. It was a Toyota Corolla Tercel GTX5ZY. I think there were four of them made in America. It was a beautiful car, and he gave it to Heather. So Heather and me, we decided, hey, let's learn to drive together. I'll be your instructor. So it was in the wintertime, and Nottingham High School was nothing but one big snowbank surrounded the whole. And so Heather and me went in there. And I was like, okay, Heather, start out. And she was doing good, and then all of a sudden, boom. Well, that's no problem, Heather. You hit a snowbank. Boom, boom, boom. And I just wonder, with a guy like Jehu, who you know he was a loose cannon, and this guy gets in a chariot, and somebody's going to learn him to run a chariot, he must have been like, how did I get this job, Cap? You know what I mean? But anyway, Jehu, not only, I mean, what kind of man would you say, look, give him the message and then get the heck out of Dodge? And plus he was a combat hardened veteran over several wars, I'm sure. And there was another thing that made me think, this guy is like a real stand-up guy. Because it says when the prophet came, he went to this crowd of officers, or a group of officers, and he said to them, I have a message for you. Now, in my mind, and maybe anybody else here, did you ever have somebody come looking for you or wanting to tell you something? And you'd be like, wait a second, I don't know about that. Who are you? And what do you want with me? What do you know about me? I have nothing to do with you. I don't even know you. Reminded me, years and years ago, I was out in Wyoming, and I was looking for an old friend. So best place that I knew of was to go to a bar, right? So about 10 o'clock in the morning, I go in the bar, and there's a couple stew bums sitting over here, and the barkeep. And so she comes up and she goes, can I help you? I said, yeah, I'll just have a Coke. Thank the Lord, I wasn't drinking. She said, I just have a Coke. So she looks at me weird. She puts a Coke down. So she says, what's up? I said, I'm just looking for so-and-so. So I could see that she jumped a little bit. And then she said, oh, I don't know. Then she goes to the two guys that are already drunk off their butt. They can't remember their own name. And she asks them, hey, do you know so-and-so? And they're like, no, man, I don't know him. So anyway, So the barkeep comes to me and she says, are you in a hurry? I said, no, not really. She says, just hang for a little bit. So then I'm sitting there and she comes on the house here. It just fills my Coke up, everything. She says to me, where are you from? So I told her. She goes, what are you doing out here? Told him, just passing through. I just wanted to see him. That's all. So then comes the question that told me she knew him. She says, are you a bounty hunter? I said, but I knew, I knew they were in trouble. So, but what that told me when I was thinking about that, I was like, God, that tells you about Jehu, because Jehu could care less. He'd just as soon cut your throat as look at you. And he said, what do you want? Like, here I am. You want some of this? You know what I mean? That was Jehu. And so God used that man with all his tood and everything else about him. You know, somebody, it wasn't like he was a choir boy. God didn't go, you know, there was a saying, I remember hearing it. It said, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. Okay, but I said, amen, Jeannie, but I said, in this case, God called the equipped because he called a man that just didn't care. And I'll tell you what I mean. Okay, now, Jehu goes in the inner room with the prophet. So now these guys that he's sitting with, they're watching. All of a sudden, this crazy man, because one guy said, what'd that madman want? All of a sudden, this guy comes jetting out of the room, gone, and out comes Jehu. And he was like, Jehu, what was that all about? And then Jehu says, mind you, I know they had to see the awl on his head and coming down on his robes. And that had to say something to people in Israel. And so he said, you know the man, and you know what he said. And the guy says, no, I don't. Tell me. He goes, basically, you're looking at the new king of Israel. And they spread their robes out, blew the horn, say, hey, Jehu's king. J.U. said to them, Stevie quit reading where I asked him to, but after that, just after that, J.U. said, if you believe that I am king, he says, then you close this city down. Don't let nobody get out of here and get to Jezreel, because I'm going to Jezreel. I got some business down Jezreel waiting. So I guess everybody clammed up, because off he goes. And he goes down to Jezreel, and that's where we saw that thing about him driving, because he was in his chariot. And so Ahaziah and Joram, somebody yells down from the watchtower, he said, hey, we got some guys coming. And so he says, hey, send out a rider. So the rider goes out, and next thing you know, he guy's watching. What's up? I don't know, man. He's behind everybody else now. Okay, send out another rider. Out goes another rider. Next thing you know, he goes, what's up? He goes, I don't know. He's behind him too. So then both kings, they get their chariots. Off they go. And they go to meet whoever this is. Because the guy, the watchtower guy says, I don't know about y'all, but I know who that is. Because there ain't but one man in the world drives like that, and that's Jehu. Right? So he meets him. He meets him out there. Both kings go out and meet him. And so Joram says to Jehu, and Jehu served under Joram. He was a commanding officer for Joram, the king. And so Joram rides up in his chariot, and he goes, hey, Jehu, what's up? Is everything good? And Jehu says to him, how can everything be good when your old lady's still around living and all the junk she's doing? So all of a sudden, that guy goes, uh-oh, that ain't a good answer. So he spins around his chariot, and he takes off, and he's yelling to the other king, treachery, Ahaziah, treachery. Well, Jehu takes his bow. Mark Bellinger here? No, he ain't. There he is. I know Paulie's here. You guys will appreciate this, because he grabs his bow. I never shot a bow and arrow worth squat. I shoot arrow as good as I bowl. He pulls that bow back, and he lays that bead down on Joram while he's riding on his chariot. And put that thing right through his heart. He's dead. He wounds Ahaziah. Ahaziah goes and dies later on anyway. So his first act as president or king was to bump off two kings, both of them sons of Ahab. The rest of what he did, he wiped out Ahab's entire family. Every male. And it's I think it's two or three chapters that talk about Jehu. He ended up reigning 28 years. That's a long time. He reigned in Israel 28 years. And the Lord was very pleased with him, because God had set him to do a job that was dirty work. And not many people could do that. And what Jehu did was, he systematically wiped out every male that was even close to Ahab. Do you even smell like him? Boom. You know what I mean? He did the job right. And he got rid of everybody. And God said, that's what I wanted, Jehu. Now, if that was the end of it all, it wouldn't only be a short sermon. It'd be like, wow, that was kind of interesting. It was real interesting. Might even want to go home and read that for myself. Or at least start reading through the Kings, because that's interesting stuff. But the thing is, my mind, I said, this whole thing begs a huge question. And the question is, God talked that way to people. God talked to Jehu. God had a big job to do. And he didn't leave it to any of Jehu's guessing. He sent a prophet. And the prophet broke it down for him. Jehu, this is exactly what God wants from you. Are you going to do it or not? He didn't even have time to ask him, are you going to do it? Because he was already out the door. Because Jehu was a wild, he was just a loose cannon ready to blow off on somebody. And sure enough, if he didn't do it. So then in my mind, I'm going, what's the chances that God is still dealing that way with people? What's the chances? I fought with this. I really did. Pastor, I meant to call you and ask you if it was proper to do this. I've been thinking about getting real personal, right now. You think that's acceptable? I'm asking late. I apologize. Here's what happened, okay? Here's what happened. My wife came to me, I don't know, maybe 3 months ago. Says to me, John, what do you think about having a book study? The Heart of Addiction. We'll have dinner, big feed, sit down, talk with some good people. Talk about, we'll read the book and then we'll talk about it. I was like, you know what? That sounds good. That sounds really good. So we did it. We started it. Three weeks into it, I was sitting one morning at Wawa. And I said, God, I have more truth than I know what to do with. I have more truth than I know what to do with. This book by Mark Shaw is just spot on. I say this respectfully, Patty, to you and anybody else that went through the 12-step program for whatever. Never worked for me. It just didn't. If I quit something like drinking, I quit drinking because I wanted to drive a truck. And you can't drive a truck and drink. Even back in the 70s, you couldn't do that. But the 12-step thing didn't work for me. And I say that respectfully to you because I gained a great deal of respect just from hearing your story. So please understand what I'm saying. Okay, here's the thing. I sat before God and I said, God, you got me in a church where Ray Charles could see that God's working. Right? God's moving in this place. There are so many miracles sitting in this place right now and standing. Okay. I can see that you agree with me. Now, here's my dilemma. All right? And I ain't proud of this. And I ain't trying to blow about myself this morning. Matter of fact, I fought tooth and nail not to say this, but I'm going to say it. Here was a man that's in a place where God's working. He's working like crazy. Healing people. He healed me in this place. Rick prayed for me. My shoulder, this ain't no lie. If I'm lying, I'm flying. I couldn't raise my arm like this. I couldn't lift 2 pounds. Shelly, am I telling the truth? Shelly gave me a weight to try to move. I need my arm. I haul hay for a living, for heaven's sakes. One night, Rick, when we're done at the meeting, the 12-step meeting, Overcomers, Rick says, anybody got anything they want me to pray about? I said, Ricky, please ask the Father about my arm, because it's worthless. I might as well not even have the thing. And so he prayed. I went home, and I was trying in the car to get it to work. I was like, come on, God, I know you did it. And he didn't. And so I was like, oh, boy. So I get out of the car, and I'm walking down the street with the thing, freaking dang, well, all right. The next morning, people, Shelly was sitting down on the couch like this, right? I walk downstairs and I go, hey, honey, yoo-hoo, look at me. That's the truth. That's a true story as I stand here. Now, my point, and this buries me farther in my own selfish kind of guilty way, because I knew. I, of all people, knew. Not because I'm special, but because for once I got swatted with a big enough 2x4 to know God cares, John. God cares. All you did was ask. Evidently, God was listening because he was the only one. I tried for months to get that arm to move right, and it wouldn't. It got worse and worse. Okay, so God was listening. And then I said to God, God, what is wrong with me? Because there was one thing, that was not on the table, okay? When it came to changing, when it came to God speaking and dealing and working and recovering, whatever words fit, One thing wasn't on the table for me, and that was cigarettes. I said, God, I'll talk to you about anything else. But talk to the hand for the cigarettes, pal. I'm not interested. I happen to enjoy these things very much. But it wasn't flying in my heart no more. Because I said, John, when are you going to change, bro? You've got all the answers. You've got all the truth. When's it going to change? Or are you just going to ignore it? Let it go away. Die like you're living. So I listened to Pastor one time, and he was talking about, now I don't pretend that that was all like demons or evil spirits. I don't know. Maybe it was. I don't know. All I know is that Pastor talked about there, Jesus came down off the mountain, and it was his disciples were there, and they were in a quandary. They were like, Jesus, we're trying to cast a spirit out of these people. We've been casting them out left and right, and this one won't go. What's the dealio? So Jesus said, this one only comes out by prayer and fasting. Oh, there's something new. So, unlike Heather, I asked Jerry's permission for this. Pastor said, prayer and fasting. So I said, okay, God. It was a Friday. I said, well, I'm going to go on smoking today, God. I am. I'm going to keep on smoking. I'll smoke up till midnight. Friday night. Dragging him in, man. Shelly said, what you doing, John? Don't bother me, Shell. I'm getting my last fix. Anyway. Saturday, I started my fast. 3 days of no food. Again, I'm just being honest, okay? There ain't no brag, ain't no complain here. I got nothing to hide, nothing to gain or lose. I'm just telling you, this is what's been happening. Okay. I come to church Saturday, Sunday. Jerry Lynn comes downstairs, and she says to me, are you all right? And I go, yeah, I guess I am. Why, do you know something I don't know? And so she says to me, something to do with smoking or something. That's how she said it. And I said, well, it's funny that you asked that, because I'm in the middle of a 3-day fast, because I'm trying to get rid of this crap out of my life, and I can't. But we couldn't talk. So later, I was on the road for 3 days that week with nothing to do but drive, and I called her, and I said, Jerry, what was this all about? She gave me permission to say this. Jerry said that she... Now, mind you, Jerry just buried a son-in-law. She's got a 5-year-old grandson to watch. And so she says, I happened to be working around the house. And she said, I remembered a story that you had told me about Pastor prophesying when y'all were down in Dominican Republic about my struggle with cigarettes. And he did. And I said, you okay? Twice, she said, the Lord brought that to my mind. She said, but it doesn't make sense. It's not a complete picture. Am I accurate so far? Okay. This doesn't make sense. It's not a complete picture. And I said, Pastor said, when we were at that meeting at our home, that it's pivotal. There is pivotal sin. There is sin that if you refuse to give it up, everything else hangs on. It doesn't change. It doesn't change. And you can try to whitewash the sepulcher, but inside's dead man bones. So, here's where it gets really good, though. Because I felt, with who I was and living with what I was, and knowing what I was, that God couldn't be too awful proud of me, much less want to hear from me or talk with me. I felt pretty unacceptable. And I said, like a little kid, how did Dad seem? And she said it was a sense of overwhelming love. Bless God. Sorry, let me get myself together. We were singing this morning. My heart was so moved. I was like, God, you love me. And the best thing is, ain't a soul out here can't claim the same thing. So, I guess we ought to wrap it up. Been long enough. All right, here's what I think. I think I want to be a non-smoker the rest of my life. I do. But it's too late. Before you clap, it's too late. I hope I don't never pick one up again, because if I do, there went my non-smoking days. You know what I'm saying? So I said to God, if you're willing, to look at me and know everything, because the Psalm says our secret sins are laid out in light of His presence. He sees everything. You know the things that we hide? God says, what are you hiding? Matter of fact, God says, come here. Sit down. Let's reason together. What's the problem here? It's my sin, God. I don't care if your sins are as scarlet. I don't care. I'll make them white as snow. Now what's the problem? What's keeping you from my presence? So, I say, God, if I'm welcome in your presence, God, you hear my voice right now. If I'm welcome in your presence, then help me, God. Help me to be the man you want me to be. Because a pastor said to me, and I'll close with this, all right? Pastor said to me, you give it up, John. You give it up. And God will set you free. But He'll set you free from stuff, from evil people that love to do evil things to young kids. He'll set you free from that. He'll set you free from the bondage, from the dirtiness, from the shame, from the guilt. A lot of what you didn't even ask for was just given to you. It was a package deal. And He'll set you free. He'll set you free. But it pivots. It pivots on that step. Will you be faithful? I showed you, man, what I want. I showed you, Jehu. Jehu kicked butt and took names, man. And it didn't take no time to get the job done. That the prophet, he gone. He cleared the way because he knew what was coming. It's the same with us. If we'll do what we're told, then God will honor us. So, that's it, Pastor Doug. I love you. Turn that off.
Yeah, would you stand?